we'll do that this morning. Hope you have your Bible with you. If you would, please turn to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter number 11 is where we will begin. Our lesson is actually from last week, which covered chapters 1 through 11. We did not go to those, but we'll try to make some headway on last week's lesson according to your Sunday school book. And then I think I'm going to go to Psalms chapter number 18 after that, and we'll see if we can't make some progress there as well. So we'll begin in just a moment. We'll go back and review just a little bit from last week, and then we'll start our lesson this morning out of the chapter 11 of the book of Psalms. But let's do pray. Ask for the Lord's blessings upon the day, and we'll get right into our lesson this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you again this morning thanking you for this special day that we have as we come together and unite together here at this place with a common cause. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the week that you've given us this past week and the many blessings that you have, Lord, granted unto us. And Lord, we want to say thank you for that. We look forward to the new week that lies before us. And as we begin this week, we just pray, Lord, for your help, guiding, leading, and directing in this week as we go out into the world and back to the routines of life this week. We pray that you would just guide, lead, and direct in every path that we take this week. May your name be glorified. May we, Lord, do your will that you have for our life. Lord, may we be a good witness for you this week. May we have a good testimony for you this week. Lord, may we be a good example also this week that we live. We pray now that you bless our time together. We pray for our services this morning, this evening. Lord, we do want to mention Brother Richardson again as well, that your blessings would be upon him. And Lord, the message that you have for us today, we pray that we would receive that. Lord, help us to focus, help us to pay attention, help us to grasp, help us to learn, help us to grow. And Lord, may we become all that you would have us to be. Lord, we do want to pray for those in our midst who have prayer requests. Lord, special requests, special needs that people may have, we pray for those that your will would be done there as well. We also, Lord, once again want to mention the lost and those that need to be saved. We pray for them that this would be the week of salvation, that this would be the week that they would see their need of a Savior. And Lord, I pray that for some, or if not for all, that this would be the week of salvation for them. Lord, we do want to pray for our country. We pray for revival. We pray for our church, for your blessings upon all that's done here at this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're in Psalms chapter number 11 this morning. I'm going to try to get back on track with our Sunday school books to try to kind of stay on track of maybe some of the lessons that you maybe read throughout the week. As we mentioned last week, if you do not have a student book, I know there's a few left here at the front. Please make sure that you pick up one. Take it with you, and you can use that throughout the week. Good tool to use to help in your walk with God. It'll also give you some insight to the upcoming lesson if the teacher stays on track. And I was not on track last week. We kind of steered in a little bit of a different direction. Last week we focused a lot of our lesson, if not most, I guess all the lesson last week was focusing a little bit on music and then also musical instruments. We went to the book of Psalms. But I went to the last chapter of the book last week, and we went into a study of some of the different instruments that were listed there that were used in the Word of God. It is not an extensive list. In fact, if you were to go and study the Word of God, you will find a lot of different type of musical instruments that were used for the honor and praise and glory unto God. And may I stress this morning once again, that the music that we give, whether it be through our voice or whether it be through instruments, should always be given for the honor, glory, and praise of God. David is one that we'll find in the book of Psalms. It will be one that we'll study often throughout the book of Psalms as a writer of a psalm. In fact, we're going to try to look at two of them today that David had written. David was a man who loved music. He encouraged music. He was a one that could play musical instruments, primarily the harp. You'll find that he was a lover of music. We focused a little bit on that last week, and then we talked about musical instruments and whether or not they were right or wrong when it came to the praise and worship of God. We specifically talked a little bit about church and whether or not is it appropriate in church. Now, my testimony and my upbringing was in every church that I have been a member of, it was primarily the only instruments were used were the piano and the organ. I can remember as a child growing up, we had a pianist. I can still see the lady that played the piano. We had an organist, and I can still remember Miss Helen who played the organ, and I can still see them sitting there playing those musical instruments. As I was growing up, that was the only instruments that were allowed in the church. A guitar was not allowed. A horn instruments were not allowed. And I'm not saying they maybe weren't allowed. Maybe there was no one that could play them. I don't want to say it was not allowed, but it was just, it was just kind of set in stone that we were piano organ only type of a church. Now, once a year we had homecoming. And we had homecoming, we always had a group come in and sing, and they would all have these different musical instruments, and it was okay on that one day. I don't know why it was only okay on that one day and not every other day throughout the week, but I'll be honest with you. On that day, I liked that day. I liked the difference of the instruments that were used maybe, and it would usually be a family that would come in and sing and play, and that would be in the afternoon. You'd have morning service. They'd sing a little bit in morning service. After the service, we had a big meal there at the church, and then after the meal, you had an all-afternoon singing, and then after that, it was over with for the day. But even as a child, I can remember the excitement of that service and how that it was, and I don't know, it may be just because it was different. It was a little bit added to that, and maybe if you had that every week, it would become kind of monotonous a little bit, and maybe not as special as it was once a year. But that was the only day of the year that anything that was allowed like that. I think some of that may be by a pastor's choice. I'm not saying that it's wrong. I don't think there's anything wrong with a church that has maybe just a piano and organ only, even though I think that may limit a little bit of some of the potential that may be in the congregation when you allow it to be piano and organ only. But we discussed that a lot last week of whether it was right or whether it was wrong. Is it wrong or is it sinful to have a trumpet in a service? I do not believe it is sinful to have a trumpet in a church service. Is it wrong to have a flute or a guitar or, different stringed instruments? Would it be wrong to have a harp instrument in a church service? And we discussed a lot of that after last Sunday. Several of you had spoken a little bit and commented a little bit about growing up in church and some of your background and some of what you were accustomed to. And I think most, if not many in our church, were pretty well accustomed to the same type of church service that I grew up in, where it was piano and organ only. A few of you commented how that the pastor would never dare allow a different instrument in the church because many believed that it would be sinful to do that. I don't quite know where in time we drifted away from different instruments, and I'm afraid sometimes we allow the world to steal the things of God. And I believe that in some cases that may be true when it comes to musical instruments. Some people have the mindset and the idea that a different instrument other than a piano and organ would be what we would call worldly. I look at it a little bit different. I think the world has come in and has stolen a lot of the things of God, and the people of God have allowed that, and over time we've just become accustomed to the same old, and we've never drifted from that. On the other hand, I do believe that we have to be very careful when it comes to music, because music can be used wrong. It can go down a wrong direction very, very quickly, and it can actually even destroy a church if you're not careful. I do understand that you have to be very careful when it comes to the area of music. Some of you had mentioned that growing up, that you had an interest maybe in instrument, but boy, it was never be allowed in a church service. And maybe in some cases that's a little sad in some cases, because last week we found that there are several, even in our Sunday school class, that can play a musical instrument. Now, I mentioned to some of you last Sunday about the only musical instrument that I can play is the radio. I can play that one, and that's about it. Let's see, Brother Dwayne, you play clarinet, I think you mentioned last week. I know you can play piano and organ, Brother Yandel, is that correct? Okay. And Brother Richardson can play the piano. You can play the guitar, correct? Let's see here. My daughter can play piano. Let's see, who else was there? There was some Brother back in the back. You play trumpet, correct? All right, clarinet, trumpet, organ, piano, guitar, trumpet. I think some mentioned that Brother Yandel's sister can play guitar. I've noticed that. She can probably play a little bit of anything. She's pretty musically inclined. Brother Bradley plays the trombone. He's a member of our church here, of course, as well. So there's a lot of different people that can play a lot of different instruments. Well, I feel like they ought to come in and play them all next Sunday. Anybody want to take a vote on that? All right. And I can bring my radio and we play that. We may turn it up a little bit, right? I think many of them have commented. They haven't played in a long time. Some took maybe band in high school and learned how to play an instrument there as well. And I think that's a good thing. I think it's good to know music and how to use music and how to use it for the honor and glory and praise of God. I do not know music. I cannot read music. I've mentioned before, when we pick up a hymn book, I know there's those lines with those little, to me, I've mentioned before, it looks like power lines with little birds sitting on it. In our song book, I don't know what all those notes mean. I cannot read music. I wished I could read music. I think music is very important. And the book of Psalms, as we look here, is a book of Psalms. Some of them will actually be prayers that were written down unto God. Now, we're going to look at two of them this morning that David has written. You're going to see into the heart of David. And I think when you look at the book of Psalms, I don't know why, Brother Richardson, but the book of Psalms, I've always, and I know this sounds bad, to me is a little bit more difficult to teach than other books. I don't know why. I just have that feel about it. But I do know this, when I read the book of Psalms and as we study and as we teach it, you need to realize you're actually seeing, I think, down deep into the heart of an individual. And I believe that you're going to look into the life of David. David will reveal some things of his thoughts, his feelings, and his heart matter on different things. You're going to find that in the Psalms that we read today, that he is going to brag on God. And I think music, and when we sing, we ought to brag on God. I mean, God has been good to us. And you're going to find that David is going to share with you some of his thoughts that he has as he writes these psalms, as he writes them unto God, and that is who he is writing to. Please understand here that I don't believe that David is writing unto a person other than God. And he's revealing here his thoughts, his feelings, his heart, and how in tune his heart is with God. Now, we all know that David had made a lot of mistakes in life. David had a lot of ups and downs. In fact, David is one that we can actually look at and say, you know, there's a lot of similarities to David and us because we all have ups and downs in life. There's not a person in this room this morning that is perfect before God. We've all had shortcomings, and you're going to actually even look and see some of the shortcomings in the life of David. You're going to find in some of the Psalms that we will study that David will reveal some of the concern that he has. There are even some Psalms where David even had little doubts every now and then. See, I mean, even David doubted. I mean, even times in life, David even doubted sometimes that God was noticing him and some of the struggles that he was going through. And maybe he kind of felt maybe like he was kind of left behind a little bit in cases. And David had those feelings at times. But we're going to look here at Psalms chapter number 11. You're going to find there's only 7 verses in this psalm here that David has written unto God. Let's look at this one, and then we're going to go over to chapter 18, and I think I'll study chapter 18 as well. It's 50 verses in that one, so it's going to be difficult for us to go verse by verse and just kind of break it down. But we'll spend a little more time here in chapter 11, and then I want you to also see in the life of David in chapter number 18. Keep in mind that we're talking about David here. David, the one who slew Goliath. But David was also the one that could also pick up a harp and play a harp. In fact, David was even had requests at many times for him to come and to play the harp. Before we get into it as well, we mentioned also last week, music has an impact on your life. It affects you. It's important that we understand some of the importance of music and the role that it plays, and not only in voice, in singing, but also in the instruments that are played unto God. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 11, and let's look here to see what we can find. Verse number 1, David says, "In the Lord put I my trust." All right? It is important that we put our trust in God. You know, one of the best ways to start a day is just acknowledging that God is on the throne, God is in control of the day that is before me, and I'm just going to put my trust in God for this day. And you're going to often find that David is going to make this comment about putting his trust in God. You know, I think that we need to learn something here, the importance of learning how to put everything in the hands of God. I'm afraid that we often, we live in a day and age in a society where we think we've got it all figured out and we try to have a hold on everything. We feel like we've got everything organized in life. We think we've got a hold on life. And I promise you this morning, you do not have a hold on life. So, well, you know, everything's pretty well set in stone. I know about what time we'll get out of church today. I already know what I'm going to eat for lunch. I know what time I'll probably go to bed tonight. I know what time I get up in the morning. I know what time I've got to go to work. And we've all got our schedules all worked out, but I promise you, even though you may have a little organization in your life, you don't have control over your life. I mean, things can change in your life in a matter of a second. That's why it's important that you go ahead and learn in advance how to put your trust in God. I think one of the keys to the life of David is he learned how to put his trust in God. And he acknowledges that right off the bat in verse number 11, "In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain?" It's a question mark there. Evidently, there were advisors that gave some advice unto David that David ought to flee. You'll find that there are times in the life of David where David does flee for his life. You'll find here that David at times was sought after. He was hated. He was hunted like a wild animal at times. And there were nights that David would sleep on the ground in the cold. There were times that David would have to hide in caves. And we find that there's going to be some experiences that David is going to go through. And all through these different experiences of life, David is going to give you a little bit of an insight to what his thoughts were, his feelings were, as he was going through some difficult days. Not all the Psalms are about difficult days. Some of the Psalms are going to be written after a great victory in his life. So let's move on. Verse number 2. "For lo, the wicked bend their bow." All right, so he's going to acknowledge here there's a lot of wicked men in his day, in his life, that were after him that wanted to kill him. And he acknowledges that. He goes on in verse number 2, "They make ready their arrow upon the string." He said there are people that, I mean, they've already got their bow in their hand, they've already got an arrow on the string, and they've actually got the string pulled back on that bow. And if they had an opportunity to shoot an arrow through his heart, they would actually shoot that arrow and kill him on the spot. David was hated by some. And by the way, when you serve God, not everybody's going to love you. When you take a stand for what's right, you're going to find that people are not going to like that. When you love the Lord and when you follow the Lord and when you serve God, you're going to find that there are going to be wicked people in this world that are going to try to make life miserable for you. They're going to hate you for your belief in God. They're going to hate you for your stand with God. And they're going to do all they can to even in times take your life. And you say, well, you know, I don't ever see that around here. In many cases we don't, but I promise you this morning, you go over in Iraq this morning and carry a Bible around and praising God and singing the hymns of God and preaching the Word of God, and you're going to find out you could very easily lose your life this morning.
We live in a world that sometimes we only see it on the news and we think, well, that's way over on the other side of the world. Hey, it's coming here, dear friend. There are people in this world that would love to kill you just because you say you're a Christian this morning. And David was hunted like a wild animal. He acknowledges that he had enemies and wicked men in the world that would love to take his life. He talks about the bow in verse number 2, how they've got that bow ready and there's an arrow already upon the string. And then he says at the last part of verse number 2 that they may proudly shoot at the upright in heart. Then verse number 3, a very famous verse here, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? A lot of preachers have preached on that one verse right there talking about the importance of the foundations. And by the way, foundations are very important. If you were going to build a new home today and a new house, one of the first things that the contractor is going to do is work on the foundation. And that foundation has got to be right because everything about your home is going to be built upon that foundation. And if that foundation is not solid, if it's not firm, you're not going to have a solid home. And may I say this morning, the foundations are very important. Hey, the foundations of the home are very important. We often hear preachers preach and talk about the home and the decay of the home in America and how it's hard to find, a good home anymore and how that the foundations there of the American family have crumbled, and they have over the years crumbled. And because of that, we suffer as a nation today because of the foundations have been destroyed in many cases when it comes to the home. We could talk about marriage this morning and how when you go to the Word of God, the foundations of the marriage institute that God established is a man and a woman, not a man and a man and not a woman and a woman. What has happened? Mankind has come along and tried to destroy those foundations. When you destroy those foundations, you are destroying society. We could talk about the home and the foundations of the home. We could preach this morning about marriage and the foundations of marriage. We could talk about the foundations of the church and the importance of standing on the Word of God. Boy, when you drift away from the Word of God, you'll find that even churches crumble because their foundation is not strong. We could talk about the foundations of our country that we live in this morning. I mean, we could go to a lot of different subjects, and it all goes back to the foundations and how that the foundations must be firm. If that foundation is not firm, then whatever's built upon it is not going to be firm either. That's why you ought to build your life around the Word of God. You build your marriage around the Word of God. You build your home around the Word of God. You build the church around the Word of God. You build a nation around the Word of God. Because we know that the foundation all goes back to the Word of God. Let's move on here. Got a lot of ground to cover. Verse number 4. The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, His eyelids try the children of men. What are we finding out here? Verse number 5, that David acknowledges here, God sees everything. David acknowledges that when life is tough, God sees that. When you're on the mountaintop, God notices that. When you're in the valley, God notices that. When the wicked attacks you, God sees that. I mean, God's eyes are upon you. You know, isn't it a pretty deep thought this morning to just actually even think a little bit that God's eyes are actually on me this morning? God sees me this morning. God knows everything about me this morning. God knows the trials that we may be going through. God knows maybe the heartaches that we may have this morning. I mean, there's nothing about you that God does not know. In fact, I've often commented, God knows you better than you even know yourself this morning. David acknowledges here the thought that the eyes of God are upon the children of men, he mentions here. Verse number 5, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone and horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup. David acknowledges here that even the wicked will get their time.
there's coming a time when God will give them their due reward. You know, often we want vengeance, but you know, we need to realize this morning that God is the one that fights our battles. God knows what's going on. God knows the wicked. God knows what the wicked is even doing to you this morning. And you need to rest assured this morning that there's coming a day when they're going to get what's coming to them. God's going to take care of it because God is in control. It is God that is on the throne. It is God that sits in heaven this morning. God is the one sees and knows everything that is taking place. And David acknowledges here that, hey, life wasn't always easy for him. He had a lot of people that hated him. People wanted to kill him. He was on the run many times in life. But David acknowledged, but you know, it's okay. I can accept that because he put his trust in him, knowing that God is in control. He goes on in verse number 7 and says, For the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. And a lot of thought and teaching could go into verse number 7 about the Lord and how the Lord loves righteousness and how that we need to strive to live righteously in life, and how we live our life is important. And so we find here in a very short psalm here, chapter number 11, that David gives you a little bit of an insight to his life, and he acknowledges here that life hasn't been easy for him. And by the way, may I say this, nowhere in the Word of God does God promise you that life's going to be easy. You know, all these people that preach about, you know, boy, you get saved, all your problems are gone away. I disagree with that. Now, I will say this, once a person trusts Christ as their Savior, they don't have to worry about dying and going to hell. And I don't know of a bigger burden in all the world being lifted than that. I understand that. But to say that you're never going to have problems in life is crazy. You need to realize you've got an enemy in life. You say, well, yeah, you know, the enemy's that neighbor down the road. No, your enemy this morning is not your neighbor down the road. Your enemy this morning is Satan himself. And he's after you. And you're in a battle every day of your life. David acknowledged here that there were men that were after him, that hated him, that wanted to murder him. But he put his trust in the Lord. He acknowledged here that he understood that God sees and God knows everything that's going on. He acknowledges here that God is the one that will have vengeance upon them. So it gives you a little bit of an insight here of some of the struggles that he's enduring. And actually, he pins it into a psalm that you find here in Psalms chapter number 11. Now, I want you to jump over to Psalms chapter 18. And I want to switch gears here a little bit. I want to show you two different psalms that David writes here. And you get to chapter 18 of the book of Psalms, and now you're going to find that David is going to write a psalm a little bit after the Lord delivers him from the enemies that were after him from the hand of Saul. Saul was one that, of course, wanted to murder David and take his life, but the Lord delivers him. And you're going to find this entire chapter is devoted to rejoicing in what God has done in his life. Now, this psalm is 50 verses long. It's a lot longer of a psalm here, but it gives you a good insight into some of the psalms and some of the thoughts and the heart of the life of David after a victory in his life. And David acknowledges here that all victories come from God. It wasn't anything special about David. David doesn't take the credit for it. David always gives the Lord credit for those victories. Let's look at verse number 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. So he acknowledges in verse number 1 that the strength that he has to endure and go from day to day and go through the battles that he goes through all comes from the Lord. He goes to verse number 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. So David here, and I don't have time, that's a sermon in itself. David acknowledges and kind of gives a description of who God is to him. And he's trying to describe a little bit of what God is to him in his life. He says here that he's my rock, he's my fortress, he's my deliverer, he's my God, he's my strength. He's my trust. He's my buckler. He's my salvation. He's my high tower. I mean, boy, a lot of great terms here trying to describe what God is to him. By the way, God ought to be all those to us also this morning. God ought to be our strength. He ought to be our rock. He ought to be our fortress. He ought to be our deliverer. He ought to be our God, our strength, our trust, our buckler, our salvation, our high tower this morning. God ought to be all those to us this morning. So we find here that David is actually rejoicing. He's actually praising God for who he is. Look at verse number 3. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. In fact, there's a song that was put together after that particular psalm. He goes on, and by the way, in verse number 3, he is the one that's worthy to be praised. And when we sing unto God, and when we sing in the church, and when we play musical instruments in the church, it ought to be that we're praising God for who he is. Verse number 4, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Even David acknowledges there were many days he was afraid. There were days when David didn't even know would he even survive the day. He didn't know if he would ever see another sunrise. David realized that he was at the, within a matter of a fraction of death often in his life. He said, sorrows of death compassed me. Kind of giving you the insight of, I think there were days when David was discouraged. I believe there were probably days when David was disappointed. I believe there were days in the life of David when he was depressed. The thought of death was always on his mind. He never knew if he was going to survive the day. He didn't know if he would even see nightfall, much less the sunrise the next day. And he's kind of giving you a little bit of an insight here that he was afraid. He was fearful for his life. He didn't know if he was going to survive. And then he goes on in verse number 5, the sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. And then in verse number 6, he says, in my distress, he's talking about when I went through all this difficult time, when I was worried and discouraged and didn't know if I was going to make it, and the thought of death consumed him. He mentions also in verse number 6, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried upon my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even into his ears. Isn't it good to know this morning that God hears our cries? David makes mention here that I'm sure there were many a days that he didn't know if he was going to survive. The only thought that was going through his mind was death, that he was going to die. I believe he was discouraged at times. I believe he was very weary at times. I believe that he was physically exhausted many times. I believe that there were times when he just thought about just giving up and probably had no hope. But even through all the darkness that he was going through in life, there's a key element here in verse number 6, where he just decides the only answer is to cry out to God. And by the way, that is the only answer this morning, is God. I promise you this morning, dear friend, there are going to be times in life when the problems of the life and the distress, the difficulties, the trials, the disappointments, the depression, the discouragement is going to overwhelm you to the point where there's not a man alive that can help you. But I promise you this morning, there's a God that can help you. And I believe that David realized that he had all the advisors that a man could want. He had some of the most brilliant minds around him, but often you'll find that he bypasses all of mankind and goes directly to the answer, and the answer was God. And he acknowledges here that in his distress, he says, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him even into his ears. Verse number 7, guess what? What happens? God moves to action. He tries to describe a little bit of how he views when he cries out to God and when he begs God for help, when he pleads with God to come to his rescue here, now you're going to find that David tries to describe God being moved to action and what happens when God is moved to action. He says in verse number 7, "Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it." He's trying to describe unto us a little bit of how he looks at the movement and the actions of God. To David, it's like when God works, it's like the earth shakes. When you really think about it, it does. God is the one that actually has a hold on the earth. He's describing here the action of God and the answers to his prayers. You'll find in verse number 10, he says, "And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind." And by the way, he controls the wind. The rain that we received this morning came from God. The wind that blew yesterday comes from God. I mean, the very wind that blows across our face when we go outside is the movement of God by God's command. The rain that falls from heaven is all because of the command of God. The sun that shines outside right now is all because of the command of God. God is in control of all, dear friends. You'll find here in verse number 11, "He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness, at the brightness that was before him," verse number 12, his thick clouds passed, hailstones of coals of fire. "The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones of coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then were channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered. At thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me." David acknowledges here that there was no way in his own strength, his own power, his own ability, he could have ever escaped the enemies. It was that God reached down and snatched him out from amidst the enemies that compassed about him. Verse number 18, "They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me." Do you realize this morning that last little phrase that David makes? And David, you know what David believes in his life? David just believes that God delights in him. Do you know this morning as a child of God that God delights in you? God delights in you this morning. He goes on in verse number 20, "And the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me." Now, let's stop right here in verse number 20. David makes reference to here, talking about the cleanness of his hands. You need to realize David is not, he's not boasting of being sinless here. In fact, if you study the life of David, David was very remorseful at some of the sins that he had committed in his life. And David's not trying to pretend in verse 20 that he is perfect by any means. But David just looks at the grace and the mercy, and he feels like that God imputed that unto him. And in the eyes of God, he's somebody. And in the eyes of God this morning, you're somebody this morning. He delights in you. And he acknowledges here, verse in this chapter here, the joy and rejoicingness of his heart here of how that God delivered him from all the enemies that were after him. Verse number 21, "For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore have the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. with the verse number 25, with the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, with the upright man thou wilt show thyself upright, with the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the forward thou wilt show thyself forward. Verse number 27, for thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For verse number 28, for thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. Verse 30 is a very key element as well into the heart and life of David. And David realizes the words of God and how they are to be the center point of life. He goes on in verse 31, for who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? It is God that guideth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken in mine arms. He's acknowledging here all the gifts and talents that he's had, even in the area of war, battle, shooting a bow, running, climbing walls, overcoming walls. All that is the blessings and the gifts that God has given unto him. So you see here how that David, after he has experienced a victory and has overcome some enemies here, that in this Psalms he's revealing his gratefulness, his gratitude for who God is in his life and what God has done in his life. Verse number 35, thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and the right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. It's not that David's boasting about being someone great. He's just saying and acknowledging here that everything that's been great in his life is because of God. Verse number 36, thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. It goes on, they cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou made me to the head of the heathen, a people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, thou shalt obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of the close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdued the people under me. He delivered me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to the seed forevermore. 50 verses of the Psalms that David put together and penned unto God after a great victory came in his life. You'll find in this one chapter, 50 verses here, the acknowledgement that David gives. You'll find here the thoughts that are in the heart of the life of David as he acknowledges here all the struggles and all the enemies he had to overcome in life, and how that it was always God that stepped in and always gave the great victory. So it's a psalm that David wrote out of victory that came in his life one day. Not all the Psalms are going to be that. You're going to find that there are going to be some that David acknowledges the doubts and the struggles and the darkness of his life and the concerns that he has. You're going to find in the book of Psalms, some of them were actually a prayer that was prayed unto God. But as we study, you'll find a lot of great insight to the life of David and some others as well as we study a little bit about the book of Psalms. Keep in mind, it is a psalm that was written unto God. Let's do pray. Our time's already out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this morning. We pray that you would help us as we do study your word and as we study forward in the book of Psalms. May you enlighten us. May you encourage us. May we learn this morning how important it is to put our trust in the hands that control the universe. And Lord, that's your hands. And Lord, we just pray that you help us in our faith, help us in our walk with you, help us in our life as we strive to serve you. And Lord, I pray that you would guide, lead, and direct us this week. Help us once again to be that good witness. Help us to be a good testimony. Help us to be a good life in this world. Lord, a dark world that we live in. And Lord, may we help the light of God to shine into a dark, dark world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.